Hysteria is brought to you by Amnesty International USA. Look, here's the thing. If you're fired up and ready to fight back against cruel anti-human rights policies like Trump's mass deportation campaign, which violates due process, separates families, and puts people in danger, Amnesty International is right there with you.
For over six decades, Amnesty International has been on the front lines of protecting human rights from bullies and bad guys. Amnesty International doesn't take a dime from governments for their campaigning and research. That means they're independent and they speak truth to power no matter who's in charge. So if you believe in truth, accountability, and not letting Trump-style cruelty slide, head to amnestyusa.org/help. Your donation is tax deductible, and right now it'll be triple matched. That's amnestyusa.org/help.
One of the best parts for me about hosting Reveal, you know, your favorite weekly investigative podcast, is the interviews. I love to sit down with people and try to gain a perspective that gives me and our listeners a new way of seeing the world, which is why we're launching More to the Story with me, Al Ledson. It's a place where I can talk to some of the most intriguing people to bring some context to our changing world. Follow the Reveal podcast feed and look for More to the Story every Wednesday.
Hello and welcome to Hysteria. I'm Erin Ryan.
And I'm Alyssa Mastromonaco.
Alyssa, this week Mattel announced that they would be releasing dolls to commemorate the fashions from the film Clueless, which I completely support. It's an incredible movie. Also, like, a lot of the shooting locations are in my neighborhood, so it's super weird.
Ooh.
And they kind of look the same still.
Wow.
Yeah, we can talk more offline. I don't want to, like, totally blow up where I live. What film-inspired dolls should Mattel release next?
Bridget Jones.
Ooh, I didn't guess that one. I thought you were gonna pick. So my pick is Heathers. I think they should
perfect.
Be Heathers.
Oh, Heathers would be incredible.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially like if they had some sort of mechanism where you could make it look like the Winona Ryder doll's head.
With the
poking out of the croquet thing. Anyway, I think I would buy those.
I would
have no choice. I have no room. I have no space. I have too much clutter, but I would have no choice but to buy Heather's dolls.
I would too.
Wait a second. Would the Bridget Jones doll have like the granny panties?
100%. I want granny panties. That's exactly why I picked her. That and a bad jumper for Christmas.
Oh, I like that. That sounds really cute. Got a fun show today?
Yeah.
Fun, more fun than last week. I feel like last week was so
last week
heavy.
Was heavy. We had to petty it up a little bit this week.
But some bad stuff happened to guys we don't like.
And enjoyed every minute of it.
Ken Paxton's wife is leaving him. Love that. Love that for him. Donald Trump keeps sounding more and more like he's in the Epstein files.
I think it's pretty safe to say he's got to be in there at this point. And Pam Bondi's going to she's taking all the heat for it.
There's a civil war in MAGA, and it's even more gangrenous than the American Civil War.
And speaking of gross, Greg Abbott and Elon Musk are emailing.
Emailing personal information.
Perhaps
to each other.
Of an embarrassing nature.
Oh my stars. And then we have some updates of some news stories that we have been tracking. We also talked to E. Jean Carroll.
So exciting.
Advice legend.
Icon. New York icon.
Icon. New York City icon. And then, of course, we have Sani Petty. Great show. Stick around. You're listening to Hysteria, the podcast that is enjoying the MAGA meltdown over this Epstein stuff so much that our local grocery stores are about to run out of popcorn.
It is the gift we didn't know we needed.
And it keeps going. I'm like,
it's nonstop.
There's even been like a round of stories that's like, here's how Trump shrugged off the Epstein thing. And then it's like, oh, no, 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 no.
He's not done.
He sure did not shrug it off in any way, shape, or form. Well, there's a lot of dark stuff in the news, obviously. Like the Epstein story is a dark story. But I think we know a lot of the real dark stuff in the story. So the story now is not what's in the files. It's what's being done with the files. And
that there actually are files.
And that there actually are files and that people are freaking out over what is or what isn't inside and who is and is not allowed to see it. So, like, yeah, the news itself beyond the stuff we're about to lead news with is pretty dark, but we're trying to find joy in the chaos this week.
Yeah, everyone deserves it.
Everybody deserves it. Like, this is a Schadenfreude heavy week, you know?
Yes.
And things are not going well, just generally speaking, but at least some people who truly deserve it are having a bad time.
Yeah.
All right, with that being said, so let's talk about this Epstein thing. Last week, the Trump administration suddenly reversed course on its promised plans to release the Epstein files. So the files would have had determined and showed everybody who was associating with Jeffrey Epstein, how was he how were they associating with Jeffrey Epstein at on how many occasions, like, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Because the MAGA movement had had as part of its credo this belief that it was really important for everybody to know whose names were on the list, and a belief that Democrats like Joe Biden and Barack Obama were deliberately keeping it from the public because they didn't want to embarrass powerful people that were their friends.
Right.
was the prevailing attitude. Pam Bondi herself, the attorney general, even early in the Trump administration, had said that she had the list on her desk.
On her desk.
She was about ready to review it. It was right there on her desk. And Bondi either, like, really put that off reviewing it, or she reviewed it and found something that she didn't really want to share.
And let's just dig into that for a minute. Mm-hmm. If you had on your desk the one thing that everybody wanted to know, is that the thing that you'd say for, like, I don't know, a rainy day?
That is, like, if I were the attorney general, I would sprint.
Of course.
In a manner less becoming than J.D. Vance's run. I would prance sprint to my desk and immediately, I would stay up until that shit was done.
Of course you would. This is an absurd plot line. It is absurd that she's just, like, in a cabinet meeting now saying,
oh, yeah,
I just said it was on my desk.
Yeah.
That's it.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. I was too busy, like, filling out registration forms for
anything.
Summer camp. Or, you know, I was too busy canceling subscriptions. Or I was too busy, like, doing, I don't know. I was just, like, going through my finances and, like, QuickBooks and whatever. Like,
priorities.
What are you talking about, Pam?
Get a grip. No, like, one on the planet buys this story. That's the problem.
Any normal person who had any degree of curiosity would have leapt at those files with the speed of a jealous girlfriend when her probably cheating boyfriend leaves the room and leaves his phone unlocked.
100%.
You know, that's I don't believe Pam Bondi. Do you think she's going down for this?
No.
You don't?
No. Here's why.
Okay.
So I think, because, you know, so this is another bit of the goss from last week, which was just incredible, is that Dan Bongino, who's the deputy director of the FBI.
He is a human pulsating vein, by the way.
Made his podcast career on talking about this shit and the transparency needed. So he apparently said that he was not coming, that Pam Bondi needed to get fired and that he was not coming back until she had been fired.
Yeah, he took a mental health day.
A mental health couple of days.
That's pretty woke, Dan.
It's like, okay, he's struggling. He's struggling. But unclear whether he's come back. And the problem is that it would be impossible for Trump to get another attorney general confirmed.
Yeah.
Like, it was so hot. Like, I mean, Matt Gaetz was number one, and he went down.
I bet Matt Gaetz is like, whew.
He's like,
dodged a bullet.
He's like, lose that list. And so I don't think she's going to go down for it. Also, here's why else. Because, okay, if we're going to be like tinfoil hat, whatever, doesn't it just feel a lot like she's covering for Trump? That he called her in and was like, listen, girl, you're going to lose that list and you're going to take a lot of fucking shit for it. And I'm probably going to have to get you extra security because my followers are fucking insane. Mm-hmm. But you have to take the fall for this.
What is that phrase from a cartoon? Is it hoisted by my own petard?
Hoisted by my own petard.
Yeah, it is like the Trump administration really pumped in, like, roided up. It's craziest faction, right? They're like, we got this. We're giving it to you. This is a promise. We got it. We're going to get those Democrats. We're going to get the powerful people.
It's like Liver King vibes.
Yeah. And a lot of the people who voted for Trump, like the people that you would see holding up misspelled signs at a rally.
Yes.
Or like having like a MAGA, giving their dog a MAGA themed haircut or whatever. Like the most ardent Trump supporters are, I think, supporters of Trump because they like that it makes people mad that think they're better than them. Yes. Do you know what I'm saying?
So, 100%. Like, absolutely.
You know, and so, like, all of the punditry pearl clutching on, like, Morning Joe, like, oh, my goodness, this is, we just cannot, this is unprecedented, and this is, like, a total, like, this isn't how things are done. They like that. They like that it's unprecedented. Right. They like that it's below the dignity of the office. They like that bow ties are spinning around and monocles are popping out. Like,
they
that is their shit. They love that shit. And so what they thought the Epstein files were was a reckoning for those people who thought they're better than them. Like, they thought all these powerful people would be taken down because they were on the list, and Donald Trump was going to come and get them. He was going to get them and like, take them down a peg because they're pedophiles, and they're actually, like, the rich people are actually awful and bad, and they're just as bad as they think.
Yeah.
So the fact that that Trump is not going to do that, I think, is, like, a huge
breach. Not going to do that. He's now calling supporters weaklings and saying that the Jeffrey Epstein, like, you cannot go from zero to hoax with this.
Yeah.
He's now calling this the Jeffrey Epstein, as of this morning, the Jeffrey Epstein hoax. And really? You've campaigned on this.
Yeah. He couldn't sound more guilty if he had been coached
on how
to sound guilty. Like, if he were a character in a script and someone was writing a guilty character with these lines, my note on the script would be like, can you dial it back a little bit? This is a little bit too – this is a little too aggressive and overt. But he said this week, he said, we went through – when he was asked about releasing the files, he immediately seemed angry and defensive. And he said – he accused President Obama and Joe Biden of putting – and James Comey – of putting things in the files. Didn't really explain why, if they had files that had information that could have completely derailed Trump, they wouldn't release it at a time that could have prevented him from being elected again. Why would they hold on to it? I don't know. Maybe they're playing seven-dimensional chess or whatever. And leave the files for him to release when his name is in it. Like, what? It doesn't make any sense. But then he said, we went through years of that with the Russia hoax. This is sick, obviously. With all the different things that we had to go through. We've gone through years of it, but she, Pam Bondi, has handled it very well, and it's going to be up to her. Whatever she thinks is credible, she should release. Whatever she thinks is credible, she should release. Sounds like Trump's in there.
It really does, doesn't it?
It sounds like he's in there quite a bit. In
credible.
Ways that,
only the things that are credible. What's credible? Prince Andrew.
Anything that doesn't make Donald Trump look bad.
There are, like, three pictures of people smiling with Jeffrey Epstein. Donald Trump, many pictures. Prince Andrew. We think the Queen definitely thought that there was some bad stuff going on there. And Bill Clinton. I'm just saying.
You know what? The funny thing is, though, like, the MAGA infighting over this, because the people that were promised this list and that were promised a reckoning for the people that associated with Jeffrey Epstein are furious, including Dan Bongino, and even Kash Patel had done, like, some podcasting
before. Then he backed up. He must have gotten his snout smacked over the weekend by Donald Trump because he was fired up, and then he was suddenly quite contrite.
Well, House Speaker Mike Johnson told right-wing podcaster Benny Johnson, no relation, because, like, ooh.
Benny made the rounds on this.
Yeah, and he said that he supported the release of the Epstein files, and it is, to date, according to the Washington Post, the most public breakup between him and Trump on an issue like this.
Yeah, he's been very cautious.
Yeah, Laura Loomer has called on Pam Bondi to step down. Look, we laugh at her because she looks like Jigsaw from the movie Saw, but she has successfully gotten people fired from the administration.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, I mean, old National Security Advisor Walls is testifying before Congress this week.
Yeah. She's trying to loomer Pam Bondi. It is truly wild. Megyn Kelly is pissed. I think Charlie Kirk.
Megyn Kelly's pissed. Not only that, here was a fascinating exchange. News Nation, of all places. Bill O'Reilly went on all torqued up and wanted to talk about this and to defend Trump. And the News Nation anchor was Googling in real time because Bill O'Reilly was saying that this all went down under Biden. And the News Nation guy was like, no, not even close. This was all under Trump. This happened. Jeffrey Epstein died by suicide under Trump, not under Biden. And Bill O'Reilly just literally went, That was it.
Well, you know what? That maybe he's becoming a little bit more humble in his old age, or maybe he was told by his doctor to stop spiking his blood pressure or risk imminent demise. Something else that's interesting is like the more that the Epstein tape, which the government released quote unquote raw footage. Yeah, the government released quote unquote raw footage from the outside of Epstein's cell on the in the 24 hours that he that contained his death. Right. Mm-hmm. But analysts and a Wired article said, actually, like, there's a minute missing. Pam Bondi explained it by being like, it was like the most convoluted explanation I've ever heard, where it was like, what? None of that makes – like, you don't even
– None of it
You're
makes
just
sense.
Making this – every word that she said is a surprise to her as she's saying it. She's just like, every night they make a new tape and this is old, so a minute is gone every day. It's normal. You know, it was like, what are you talking about? And then anyway, a further analysis revealed that it wasn't just a minute that was missing. It was like 2 minutes and 35 seconds or something like that.
It's like 2.5 minutes.
2.5 minutes, which is enough time for someone who's good at doing murder to go in and do a quick murder.
Totally.
They also found that the footage wasn't raw. It had been transferred and spliced together using editing software. It doesn't necessarily mean the footage itself was edited, but it was like transferred in pieces using editing software. So it could have been edited. It was not raw footage.
These we don't know.
They're just lying left and right. And the thing is, like, I feel like these are the QAnon set are love to quote unquote do their own research, right? Mm-hmm. And if there is this sort of information out there, like the tape was, there's missing footage, it was transferred using editing software. Like, how are those people not going to take that and run all the way to the end zone? Even if
the official
has whistled it dead, they're just going to be like, no, I got the football. I'm running it all the way to the end zone. And this is going to be like, this is the new, this is like the equivalent of if there was a show that everyone was watching and had been hyped up. And then right before the show aired, a producer came on and was like, we're not doing the show. It's done. We're not doing the show. There's
changed our minds.
Yeah, exactly. And Donald Trump, who I think mentally is more a reality show producer than a politician or a businessman, he should understand that. He should understand the choice that he's making. And I think whatever calculus is happening in his head, or probably, let's be honest, arithmetic is happening in his head, he's like, a problem with information out bigger than problem with not putting information out.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if we're ever going to know the truth. That's crazy.
But I feel like many more turns of the wheel.
Yeah. J.D. Vance was apparently trying to work as a mediator. Can you imagine if you had like – you had some sort of like – let's imagine that you and I had some tension. I can't imagine it. But like let's imagine – and imagine if fucking J.D. Vance was like, I'm going to –
Listen,
gonna
girls.
This over.
I'm coming in.
I could think of nobody less I could think he's so unappealing. I can't imagine him as a mediator.
He's such a gomer. Like you just can't imagine because he's so desperately – because here's the thing. He's got his own constituencies, right? Like he wants to be president. Like he buys in on the Trump stuff because he wanted to be vice president. But that boy wants to be president and he knows he needs his allies. So he's there trying to like – I don't know. He's trying to make a Rubik. He's trying to solve a Rubik's cube with slimy hands.
Yeah, it's he really is. And you know, he's trying to do it from vacation. From vacation.
I know he's on vacation.
In the hellscape, in the riot consumed hellscape of Southern California.
Why would anyone?
He has taken his children to a war zone.
War zone.
Overrun by undocumented criminals doing crimes indiscriminately. But he took his kids there. Over the weekend, Vice President J.D. Vance took his family to Disneyland.
Okay. What do you know?
Disneyland. The OC Register reported that about 100 protesters gathered around the park, which sounds all too familiar. Earlier this year, we covered the protesters who turned out in Sugar Bush, Vermont, with signs like J.D. Vance skis and jeans. The thing about where – so, I'm a little bit of a Disney connoisseur. When I was on maternity leave, I, like, got a season pass that they make available to Southern California.
I remember.
And I took my, like, little baby there a lot because it was, like, a walkable city, and it gave me something to do with, like, half the day. But the hotel where he was staying is in downtown Disney.
Uh-huh.
And it, to get into downtown Disney, you have to, like, go through metal detectors and stuff. So there's a part of me that's like, was this some kind of, like, pussy cop-out situation where he's like, oh, this allows me to vacation with my family without risking protesters being, like, right outside my hotel? Because, like, you can't – they wouldn't let you into downtown Disney to protest outside the Grand Californian Hotel, which was where he was staying, with, like, signs and shit. They just,
but
like,
Aaron,
would be like, you can't come in.
Here's a question.
Okay.
Why not go to the friendliest state on earth, Florida? Why not go to Disney World? Why not stay at the Polynesian or the Grand Floridian?
Yeah, yeah.
Take the monorail.
Right. And get in a little, take your kids to see the new tourist attraction, Alligator Alcatraz or Alligator Auschwitz or whatever you're doing. Here's a question I have for you, Alyssa.
Mm-hmm.
If blue states are so bad, why can't J.D. Vance stop vacationing here?
Because look, this is like the sad truth. It's like it's like if New York society had just accepted Donald Trump and Hollywood moguls were nice to him, he probably wouldn't be president right now.
If someone had given him an Emmy, I think if he had won an Emmy, he would not be the president.
He wouldn't be president right now. And J.D. Vance, the truth is, Aaron, let's be honest, he only went to Disney World because he knew he couldn't go to Martha's Vineyard where he really wants to go.
That's true. Yeah.
The bluest of the blue. He can't help himself. They want to be accepted.
Well, Disneyland is, and I say this with, like, utmost love, like the platonic ideal of a fascist state. It is,
fair
like,
enough.
The very best possible outcome of fascism. It is, like, fascist about inclusion.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I see so many people there that have, like, different needs that are accommodated in Disneyland. And it's, like, very, like,
right,
it just feels, like, very welcoming. They want everyone to have a good time. But they're going to, like, fucking make you have a good time. Like, they're going to make you have a good time. Nothing allowed inside that could possibly contribute to anybody else having a bad time. Like, they have rules for, like, how big the strollers can be. They're not supposed to, like, different, they have rules about all different, like, you're not supposed to wear
certain. If you're going to pay a month's rent to be able to go with two kids, I feel like that should be the case.
Right, right. Oh, totally. I mean, but it's like, I feel like J.D. Vance was like, okay, what's a place I can go on vacation where the possibility of me being, like, swarmed by protesters
right.
is minimized? And it is literally in the, like, fun times lockdown of Disneyland and downtown Disney is, like,
so
the
good.
Best hope that he had. But I do want to thank J.D. Vance for infusing all that taxpayer money into the economy of Southern California. We really
appreciate it.
We really do appreciate it. Love being in the Golden State. And thank you so much for your belief in how wonderful it is. Because, like, I'm a transplant, but, like, I'm also a convert. So
you
thank
are
you, J.D. Vance. Thank you, J.D. Vance. But go to Florida next time, okay?
Oh, my God.
Go to fucking Florida.
Oh, my God.
We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to continue to be petty about bad things that are happening to guys we don't like. This is an ad by BetterHelp. Ooh, Alyssa, what are your thoughts on workplace stress? It's like life ruining.
It's not good.
Okay, what's the most, without pointing fingers or making anyone feel bad, have you ever had a job that stressed you out so much that you were like, my mental health is on the brink?
Absolutely.
What did you do about it?
I quit.
I
had no choice. I mean, I had no choice. I had to be medicated 7 ways to Sunday to deal with the stress that this place was giving me. And I did that. I took the medicine. I knew the medicine wasn't going to solve the problem, but I left because I knew that no one was interested in solving the problems, right? That was very clear to me. So,
well, 61% of the global workforce experiences higher than normal levels of stress, apparently, because of their work. To battle stress, most of us can't just wave goodbye to work. Like, I couldn't quit my most stressful job because I needed it to live, right?
Right.
But we can start small with a focus on wellness. Actually, the last like horrible stressful time in my job, I had a therapist that I talked to.
Didn't fix the problem, but fixed my feelings about the problem.
There,
like,
you go.
You know what I mean? And, like, sometimes that's all you really can do is just fix the way that you're processing what is happening and understand that you can't necessarily fix the thing itself. Well, BetterHelp is a great option if you're experiencing work-related stress and you would like to be connected with a therapist in order to develop that skill set as well. With over 30,000 therapists, BetterHelp is the world's largest online therapy platform, having served over 5 million people globally.
And it works with an App Store rating of 4.9 out of 5 based over 1.7 million client reviews. It's convenient, too. You can join a session with a therapist at the click of a button, helping you fit therapy into your busy life. Plus, you can switch therapists at any time. As the largest online therapy provider in the world, BetterHelp can provide access to mental health professionals with a diverse variety of expertise. Our listeners get 10% off their first month at betterhelp.com/hysteriapod. That's better, HELP.com/hysteriapod.
Want to feel more confident with your finances this year? If you have 60 seconds, I can show you how quick and easy it is to start building healthy money habits that could last you the entire year just by using Rocket Money. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link all your accounts and see your entire spending picture, your subscriptions, your upcoming bills, your due dates, everything. Step three, tap a subscription you don't use and cancel it. Boom! That's money back every single month. Step four, create a financial goal for something you want to save for, whether it be a vacation, a retirement account, or a pet's birthday. We don't judge. Now let the app automatically move small amounts of cash towards your goal. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you saved. Similar to the over 10 million members on the app that have saved up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Use the savings challenge as one step closer to feeling better about your finances today at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. One more time, it's rocketmoney.com/cancel.
And welcome back. You are listening to Hysteria, the podcast that will high-five any woman who leaves her Republican husband. If you are a woman who has left your Republican husband, you see me out in public, I don't care where I am or what I'm doing, you tell me, Aaron, I left my Republican husband, and I will give you a high-five. And if we're in an establishment where drinks are for sale, I will purchase you a drink. This goes especially for Angela Paxton, the wife of Texas Attorney General and subject of a early This Fucking Guy episode, which you can watch on YouTube if you want. Ken Paxton. Angela is leaving Ken Paxton, announced this past week. Angela is leaving Ken Paxton for, quote-unquote, biblical reasons. Now, if people watching this probably are, like, passingly familiar with Ken Paxton, but in case you're not, he is more crooked than a barrel of fish hooks, you know? Yeah. He is a
bad
real
guy.
You look at, he's got resting conspiracy face.
Resting,
you know?
Fraud face.
You look at him and you're like, I don't think this is a straight shooter that I'm dealing with right now. He was impeached and acquitted in the Texas Senate. His wife is a member. Yeah.
She did him a solid, right? She recused herself.
She recused herself. So the reason that Ken Paxton was impeached in the first place was that he did a sweetheart deal with a campaign donor where the campaign donor gave him like $25,000.
Yeah.
And Ken Paxton's mistress got hired for a job at the campaign donor's business. The campaign donor was a developer. So Angela Paxton had to sit there while this, like, yeah, like, he did this thing for, it was about his mistress, another woman. She was, like, humiliated on the national stage by her husband. And during that whole ordeal, she showed up wearing red, which is the color that his supporters wore, like, very creative, and giving people the stink eye. Like, she recused herself in the trial, so she wasn't a juror deciding on whether or not he should be able to keep his office. But she was there, like, standing by her man.
She did indeed.
And so, Alyssa, here's my thing. Whatever Ken Paxton did that was so biblically
bad.
Offensive
so bad.
Must have gone beyond.
Yes.
Beyond humiliating her like that. Beyond having an extramarital affair. Do you think she was like, all right, Ken, you know, in like 2018, 2019, when like the affair would have come to light. Was she like, okay, buddy, look, I'll let this one slide, but no more affairs. And then he did one more?
Maybe. I mean,
or,
that
or do you
makes
think he
sense.
Just like ate like shellfish or had like something else biblical? Do you think he laid down with another man? Was he doing like Leviticus things?
I think all I know is something far worse than what happened in 2018 happened this time. And hopefully the files come out. I mean, like, you know, she's going to write a book at some point.
I mean, she does sound like a real piece of work.
Yeah.
Again, like, good for divorcing him. I love that. I love that for you. I love that her statement was very, like, mean. And his statement was like, we've decided to go our separate ways. It was that sort of, like, milquetoast celebrity.
She knew the biblical was going to get everybody's attention.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Biblical
reasons.
Good on her.
Good on her.
Biblical reasons. I discovered my husband is Satan. That's a biblical reason. What's another good biblical reason?
Murder. Coveting thy neighbor's wife. What else?
Taking the Lord's name in vain. Maybe Ken Paxton was like, God damn it. And she was like, That's it.
Bridge too far.
I'm out.
You've done too much.
I am out of here. Paxton is currently running for the Republican nomination in Texas's Senate primary. He wants to have John Cornyn's seat.
Mm-hmm.
John Cornyn used to be an AG in Texas also.
Yep.
John Cornyn was like the architect of making the AG office in Texas the complete shit show that it is today. So it is kind of like Frankenstein's monster strangling Frankenstein at this point. Dr. Frankenstein, which is John Cornyn in this analogy. But Cornyn has outraised Paxton by $1 million. I'm going to say Cornyn is a lot more telegenic than Paxton.
But
I can't say that I really have any grasp on the reasoning of Texas voters. Like, why?
No, we can't. No, it's not like a...
You keep electing Ted Cruz. I don't know what's going on with you.
We've given you Beto O'Rourke. We've given you Colin Allred, okay? And you keep picking the worst among you. So we have no idea.
I don't know. You know, and it's funny because I bet we're going to get a lot of messages that are like, you just don't understand Texas culture. No, I do.
That's fine. There
are so many Texans that the fact that so many people don't understand Texas culture apparently is on you guys. There's a lot of you. You should be telling us how to understand Texas culture. I don't get it.
Start
electing appealing men. Matthew McConaughey should run for governor of Texas. And if Matthew McConaughey can't beat Greg Abbott, then I will know something is wrong with you. Something is wrong with you.
All right.
I think, like, if Matthew McConaughey ran for office, I would probably, like, retract 25% of my, like, Texas side eye, you know?
Oh, Aaron, if Matthew McConaughey ran for governor, I would move to Texas.
I've already got a hot governor.
You do have a hot governor.
I love him.
I love him. You give me Jake Brigance from A Time to Kill. You bring me Carter from Contact. I can't get enough.
I had a Matthew McConaughey jump scare the other day. I started watching Angels in the Outfield because Juniper wanted to watch a baseball movie.
Oh.
And Matthew McConaughey is like one of the random baseball players. And I was like, wow, McConaughey. And I just yelled it without realizing what I was doing. McConaughey.
I love him. My heart
anyway,
is a flutter.
Yes. Anyway, well, so send Alyssa a cowboy hat that says McConaughey on it. And she will be down there running the campaign. You heard it here first.
Mm-hmm.
More Texas weird. Greg Abbott has not been one of our This Fucking Guy subjects yet, but, you know,
give us
time. We've got a backlog. We've got a lot of fucking guys to get through, and Greg Abbott is one of them. Elon Musk, another fucking guy, does a lot of business in Texas, and his lobbyists have had a very successful legislative session this year.
Mm-hmm.
Reporters from the Texas Newsroom wanted to track Musk's influence in the Capitol, so they made a FOIA request to the governor's office and his staff's emails since last fall when they wanted to get a sense of, like, what communication was happening between Musk and the governor's office. The governor's office charged $244.64 for the records, but then told the newsroom that the records were confidential. A spokesperson from the governor's office gave several reasons for withholding the records, including a statement saying they are, quote, of a private nature, not of public interest, and potentially embarrassing. Alyssa, what do you think Greg Abbott and Elon Musk were emailing back and forth?
Well, Aaron, I don't understand any of this. First of all, I don't know a world in which you can just call up and be like, give me somebody's emails with somebody else. Like, that's a little far-flung.
But they took your state email address. They're through a state email address.
I know,
so they're public. Use your private email if you want to send like private messages.
No, I agree with that. But why would they say, and potentially embarrassing, that was language they didn't need to include?
Yeah.
Like, so why? They could have said they're of a private nature, not of public interest, period. So is this an inside job? Does somebody hate either Elon or whatever these emails show that they actually want them out? Because now they've dangled the red meat, the potentially embarrassing. No one's going to let that go. Come on.
Okay. Yeah. I feel like maybe the spokesperson was like mad at the governor that day and was like, you know what, bitch, here you go. Here's
something.
A little...
Do you think they're trash talking Trump?
That is interesting.
That's what I think. I think they're trash talking Trump in this, or they're
but
trying
why
to
is
like
potentially embarrassing though. Why not just be like,
well, maybe she's MAGA. Maybe the spokesperson was MAGA, and she is like mad that they were shit talking Donald Trump. It's the only what's embarrassing other than getting caught, Greg Abbott. Mr. MAGA being like, listen, Elon, we all know he's a fucking moron, but
he's shit talking everybody.
Maybe he is.
Maybe it's like a maybe he's like an Andy Cohen type figure. He's just like every single person that he's allegedly friends with.
Like,
he just
listen.
Sort of is like he's or like not necessarily shit talking, but try to like goad Elon into shit talking. Like, I don't worry, everything is safe. You can say what you feel about this person. Like, I'm not gonna say anything. But yeah, but also like of a personal nature, a private nature.
Private nature. Shit-talking Trump. Shit-talking Trump would be private.
But like why not say relating to state security could undermine Texas interests?
There
like,
are a million things this spokesperson could have said. These words were chosen carefully and with intention.
But this makes it sound like Elon on a in a K-hole is like, what are you wearing, Greg? Like, that's what those combinations of words mean, like, sound
because,
like.
Well, here's the thing. It's like, there are so many things that it could mean. Like, actually, whoever issued this statement might be a genius.
Anyway, intimate and embarrassing. Intimate and embarrassing. Maybe Greg Abbott's wife is going to be the next one to leave him.
We will be waiting with breath that is bated.
And Greg Abbott's, I don't know if he's married or not, but Greg Abbott's wife and Angela Paxton, if I ever see you in real life, I will buy you a drink, Greg Abbott's wife, if you leave Greg Abbott. Angela Paxton.
Or no, if you tell us what was intimate and potentially embarrassing. That's good enough, too.
I think it's also funny that Elon Musk is such a, like, goblin. Like, he's a chaos goblin.
He just uses that Starlink like nobody's business.
And anybody that has – people want access to his money. And so they're willing to, like, play along with him.
Yeah.
But he is also deep, like a very obviously unstable and untrustworthy person, whether that is something that's always been the case or whether that's something that he just like ketamined his way into. Like, he's clearly not someone that can be trusted. And like, recall, just to bring it back to Epstein, Elon being like, Trump is in those files during their like little girl fight a few weeks ago was kind of what kicked off this entire cycle.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And there's a part of me that's like, does Elon have the file? I don't know.
What
does he have access to it? Could he get it? Has he seen it? He was given access to fucking everything. He was given access.
They were taking him to the China plans over at DOD when he they figured out mid motorcade ride.
Exactly. He was given access to everything. There's a part of me that's like, what does he have? I would prefer that he not have as much money and power as he does, given his obvious instability. But given his obvious instability, sometimes it's going to go unstable in a direction that is like very funny or good.
We'll take the good, we'll take the bad. We're forced to take the bad. We might as well enjoy the good.
Yes, yes. All right, that's all the petty news we have.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
We do have to talk. I know, I feel like refreshed. Like, I feel loose.
Woo!
I feel like, you know, like.
Blood's pumping.
Yeah, what's that Satchel Paige quote about him? Like jiggling to get the juices flowing when he's made. That's how I feel. All right. So now we got to talk about some stuff that's real, that's happening in the background of all this like petty chaos. Let's talk about some of the stuff that was in the big, beautiful bill that nobody wanted, that was just rushed through Congress so that people wouldn't have a chance to know how realize how bad it was. One of the things that is in the Big Beautiful Bill that just passed is a change to the way student loans are handled. In 2023, Joe Biden introduced the SAVE plan, which he described as the most affordable student loan plan ever. The plan capped borrowers' monthly federal loan bills at a portion of their income and forgave the remaining debt after a set number of payments. But last year, GOP-led lawsuits aimed to block the plan, and the millions of borrowers enrolled in the plan were put in forbearance and excused from making payments until the legal battle played out. Mm. Now the Trump administration has called the SAVE plan illegal, and the plan will end on August 1st. So all of the payments will need to resume. Another change that the bill is making to student loans is restrictions to how much money you can take out. This is huge.
Yeah.
Especially if you're somebody who is considering going to any kind of graduate school at all. The limits are $100,000 for a master's degree and no more than $200,000 for doctoral, medical, or professional degrees. That is not how much it costs to go to medical school.
No.
That is by quite a bit. That is less than what it costs to go to medical school.
I mean, do you know that I looked up just for shits because I went to the University of Vermont mm-hmm. and right now, 1 year undergrad of out-of-state tuition is 69, including room and board, is $69,000.
What the fuck?
How are you going to become a doctor?
Well, I mean, medical school also is, like, insanely expensive.
I know. That's what I'm saying. This is, like, this is absurd.
Oh, my God. I'm going to look up my college tuition. Oh, I struggle. It is. Oh.
Yeah, I bet. Can I guess? Notre Dame? $98,000 a year.
Actually, no. But it says the total cost, well, $65,000 tuition, or $67,000 tuition, somewhere in the high 60s, and then $17,900 for, like, room and meals. So $82,000. Oh, my God.
Yeah. It's crazy.
That's, like, twice as much as it cost when I went there.
Oh, me too. That's why I went down the rabbit hole. I was like, wait, is this all possible? Yes. University of Vermont. On campus, out of state, $62,000, not 69, $62,000.
That's crazy. And you know what? I'm going to tinfoil hat this, and I know mm-hmm. that, like, people are probably sick of hearing me say this, but, like, this is another sneaky way that conservatives are trying to mm-hmm. push women down in society. There's all of this information out there about how girls are outpacing boys in school.
Yep.
They're beating boys in a system designed to benefit boys. They are going to college in larger numbers than men. They are just going to grad school in larger numbers mm-hmm. than men. I believe that, like, this past year, the year before, was, like, there was a milestone of, like, more women going to med school than men. It's basically, like, women are passing up men in education.
Right.
Across the board, and there's no sign that any of that is going to slow down organically
mm-hmm.
unless you put your finger on the scale or your thumb on the scale and make it so that it's basically impossible to afford to go to, like, graduate school unless you are already independently wealthy.
Right. And the thing is, you already, for student loans, I found this, I actually was curious about this, so I looked it up at studentaid.gov. You already, interest rates are already the lowest for undergraduate,
mm-hmm.
right? So for undergraduate, the interest rate is 6.39%. When you get into graduate and professional school, it's 7.9 to 8.9%,
That's
right?
That's crazy.
Okay. So, but here's the crazier thing. So now they're forcing people to have to get private loans.
Right.
Well, do you know how much the private loan interest rate can go up, is as high as right now for student loans?
Is it, like, credit card high?
17%.
Like, oh, my God.
It can go as high. It's fluctuating, right? But there, it is, it says any,
crazy.
as high as 17%.
That is, like, creating a generation of debt slaves.
Like, it's crazy.
Another thing is, like, okay, we're so worried about the birth rate, blah, 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 blah. Like, people are not going to start having kids when they owe, like, hundreds of thousands of dollars on, like,
or when there are no doctors.
Yeah. How are you going to buy a house? How are you going to do, like, any of the things that are prerequisites in a lot of people's minds for having children? Like,
mm-hmm.
the only people that have children are going to be ones that do it by mistake. You
right.
know? Like,
right. Why would you plan? Like, when would you feel confident to plan?
It just feels so sneaky. And there are people, I'm sure, that are going to be shocked by this when they actually have to come face to face with it. Like, if you were thinking about going to medical school, maybe you're not going to be able to.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, literally, you'll just be turned down.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because here's the other thing, Erin. To get a private loan, you need a – it's your credit score. It's – I mean, there are so many things wrapped up in it. It's so easy to turn people down. And mm-hmm. also, how do you have good credit by the time you're 22?
If your parents did the thing where they gave right. you your own credit card and then just, like, never let you use it.
Which, but, even still.
But, yeah, I mean, like, a lot of people don't have parents that do that. Okay. Now, we need more progressives in office, clearly. Clearly, we need more progressives in office. Vote Save America is running a pilot program for the 2026 cycle to recruit you, that's you, our listeners, to run for office. Whether it's school board, city council, state legislature, or anything in between, VSA's in-state partners have identified the races that need candidates and are ready to help you run for office. This is a first-of-its-kind pilot program to recruit our audiences in Arizona, North Carolina, and Texas to run for office. I know there's a lot of you out there, and I hope you didn't turn it off when I was shit-talking Texas. What's unique about this program is it focuses on data analysis led by the Pipeline Fund to find down-ballot seats that need candidates, and then pairs in-state candidate training experts with our audience to set them up for success for running for office and winning. It's like turnkey.
It's like, do it.
Do it. If our listeners sign up and they don't live in pilot states, VSA will connect them with Run for Something, anyone under 40, and the National Democratic Training Committee for anyone over 40. And so far, over 1,300 people.
That's amazing. Isn't that encouraging?
Yes. VoteSaveAmerica.com/run. This is your sign. If you're waiting for it, this is your sign.
It's your sign.
VoteSaveAmerica.com/run. We have one more update. Mm-hmm. Last week, we covered the tragic flooding in Central Texas and the heartbreaking loss of campers and counselors at Camp Mystic. Mm-hmm. You know, in the first days after the flooding, there was a flurry of stories painting, like, heroes and who did the right thing and who did the wrong thing. One of those heroes in the immediate aftermath was Camp Director Dick Eastland, who passed during the flooding. Well, now it seems like the people that were in charge of the camp were maybe kind of responsible for how bad the disaster was in a way. Dick Eastland, who ran the camp, actually received a warning for life-threatening flash floods a full hour before he made the decision to evacuate the camp at 2:30 a.m. The campers and counselors had surrendered their cell phones, so none of them received the alert themselves. The alert did not have specific evacuation instructions, which would have been the responsibility of public officials, but the directors still could have chosen to move faster than he did. Eastland was swept away in the river while trying to move girls safely to his truck. That didn't have to happen if he had just acted on the warning that he received.
Yeah. And also, it begs the question, we know now that the weather had been forecasted to be bad for a couple days, and the forecasts were getting worse and worse. So how was there, like, to me, if I'm in charge of a camp, a couple hundred people, I feel like I have a evacuation plan ready to go that is, you know, I don't know. You don't wait till it gets this bad.
And I also want to tag on that a New York Times investigation found that in 2020, the camp had the option to rebuild some of the cabins and do some refurbishment and move them to higher ground and didn't. They had special dispensation to build in a floodplain. So that's another way that government failed. Regulations would have helped because these little kids would not have been literally in the way of floodwaters if camp organizers had not chosen to build within a floodplain, which they did choose to do. Also, I'm going to just say the local officials, the way that the look on their face whenever they're asked about any of this is so, they have such a guilty look on their faces. And
it is. Well, it's gone from cavalier to guilt.
I think they know. I think they know that that blood's on their hands. Like, blood is literally on their hands. As soon as they want to, you know, man up and take responsibility for what they've done, I think that would be a great thing for all the families who are probably just want to, like, know what really happened and move on.
And the part that I find so reprehensible too, is how they keep trying to just lift up the stories of these heroes. And there were a lot of heroes, but the heroes they're lifting up are fucking 19-year-old girls who are never going to unhear and unsee the things that they had to do. Like it just, it makes me like sick to my stomach that they're like, well, here's so-and-so and she was a hero. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she was a hero. And she like, she will never be fucking okay.
Did you say, like, did you read this?
Ever.
You and I probably read the same
yes,
one.
Yes.
About the 19-year-old girl who wasn't told, like she, the girls in her cabin were scared and she just started, like decided on her own to
evacuate. Lifting them out.
And she,
yes. With her junior campers. And she, as she led them out, there's the river had come between two camps. And she told the story of the other campers that she heard in the other camp, the other cabin that were never going to get out. That is
and
so
one of her
fucking
friends
deranged.
Was in the other cabin, like another counselor. Yeah. And the entire cabin was swept away and they all died. It's fucked up. That didn't have to happen. None of that had to happen. There could have been a warning system. Like, I mean, we talked about this last week, but like, let's emphasize this. She should not have had to do that. That she should never have been put in that position. I'm so glad that
she had more of a plan than the
camp. She was so brave and she was so strong, more than any 19-year-old should be expected to be. But she shouldn't have had to do that.
Totally.
And the reason she had to do that was because of a massive domino-like failure of all of the adults that should have made sure that they were safe.
Yep.
Should have made sure she was safe. Like, you can't prevent flooding, you can't prevent the rain, whatever, but, like, you can be realistic about having a plan to be safe when it does happen. And people were not. People were living in their fucking fantasy land. And, And Ted Cruz was in Greece. All right. Ugh. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we have an interview with a New York media legend. Hysteria is brought to you by Fatty 15. How important is healthy aging to me? It's important because I don't want to feel like crap as I get older. And I don't want to look like crap as I get older.
I want to walk straight and want my mind to work.
I want a brain that is not broken. I want a face that still, you know, is okay. I want an okay face.
I want some bones with life left in them.
I want some bones. I don't want to be like breaking my hip.
No.
I don't want to be doing that.
Let's put that off as long as possible.
No, put the really awful parts of aging off as long as possible. I am so excited to share with you guys C15 from Fatty 15, the first emerging essential fatty acid to be discovered in more than 90 years. It's an incredible scientific breakthrough to support our long-term health and wellness. And you guessed it, healthy aging.
Fatty 15 co-founder Dr. Stephanie Venn Watson discovered the benefits of C15 while working with the U.S. Navy to continually improve the health and welfare of aging dolphins.
Do dolphins get Botox?
God bless. I don't know what they got.
I've never seen a dolphin that wasn't just silky smooth.
Ugh.
I've never seen frown lines on a dolphin.
We're getting silkier smooth from Fatty 15. Based on over 100 studies, we now know the C15 strengthens our cells and is a key healthy aging nutrient, which helps to slow biological aging at the cellular level. In fact, when our cells don't have enough C15, they become fragile and age faster. And when our cells age, our bodies do too. Thankfully, Fatty 15 repairs age-related damage to cells, protects them from future breakdown, and activates pathways in the body that help regulate our sleep, cognitive health, and natural repair mechanisms that support our overall health.
Best of all, Fatty 15 comes in a gorgeous reusable glass or bamboo jar, and refills are shipped right to your door. You know what? I've gotten to an age where I refuse to take things that do not come in a gorgeous jar.
I need a gorgeous jar.
Get that ugly effing jar out of
house
my face.
Full of jars.
I want a gorgeous reusable glass and bamboo jar. Fatty 15 is on a mission to optimize your C15 levels to help support your long-term health and wellness, especially as you age. You can get an additional 15% off their 90-day subscription starter kit by going to fatty15.com/hysteria and using code hysteria at checkout.
The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Welcome back. You're listening to Hysteria, the podcast that is about to interview one of the coolest women in media. You probably have seen our guest in the news lately for her recent win against President Donald Trump in court and her new book, Not My Type, One Woman Versus a President, which she wrote entirely in secret. Oh, my gosh. My friends who have written books cannot shut the hell up about it when they're writing it. So that is impressive. But before her famous lawsuit, she had a long, rich career that we are so excited to talk about. E. Jean Carroll, welcome to Hysteria.
Well, thank you very much. You know, my friends don't get tired of sending me clips from your show. Everybody's eating you up. It's quite wonderful. Plus, this fucking guy, I get clips from that, too. Listen, yeah. No, you guys are hot right now. You're hot.
Oh, E. Jean, don't mind if we do.
Let me formally invite you to participate in a future episode of This Fucking Guy. I think that would be a lot of fun.
Delightful.
I would love it.
We just roast people we don't like.
Heaven. So heaven.
E. Jean, we read in Not My Type that your lawyers instructed you to keep your answers very, very short. But here on Hysteria, please feel free to go on as long as your heart desires.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
So, E. Jean, your latest book, Not My Type, has been out for nearly a month. Can you tell listeners about the book and what the reaction to your story has been like?
Wow. Well, the book is a high comedy about something extremely tragic, but I couldn't help myself. I mean, I wish you could have been there. Have you ever been in a courtroom?
No, blessedly.
No.
They talk.
No, only in Law and Order.
Yeah.
There you go. Well, so they speak in a different language. They speak in a comedic language. Everything is dramatic. The defense is dramatic, and the plaintiff is dramatic, and the rules are worse than dating rules. And the characters in this particular case were such that not even Jonathan Gresham, not even this fucking guy, could have dreamed up characters that I was surrounded with. It was so absurd. And so the word is funny that I couldn't help myself, and that's what I had to write about.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think like self-serious people are always hilarious. Like,
yeah,
especially totally. when you're the one like encountering someone where you're like, why is this all so serious? It becomes funny to
it
like
becomes funny. Alina Haba Esquire, Donald Trump's most beautiful attorney, exquisite looking, wonderfully confident. Astoundingly arrogant, got up in front of the jury. After Trump, by the way, I could hear almost everything he was saying to Alina Haba Esquire, and it was usually, stand up, stop being so stupid, speak up, stand, belittling her, calling her nasty, and she would stand up, and she would defend him with every ounce of what was left of her intelligence. Anyway, so she was standing up, giving her final argument in front of the jury. And the jury was enraptured by Donald Trump because he was a total performance, grunting and complaining and hissing and spitting. And we could hear him saying constantly, I've never met this woman. I don't know who she is. And then he'd say to Alina Haba, stand up, stand up. So Alina Haba's giving her final argument. She's wearing a diamond ring as big as a Ritz cracker. She's wearing a baby blue, well, sort of an electric blue suit. Her heels were baby blue with big bows. She's standing in front of the, she's, by the way, the acting attorney general right now of New Jersey, and keep your eyes on her. And she is going to run for office, and watch out. So she's giving her final argument, her final defense of Donald Trump, who's sitting there with his hair all done up like Tippi Hedren in The Birds, and this marmalade shade makeup, and the courtroom is wrapped, and she says, "Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, I hate to bring this up. I'm so embarrassed. I wish I didn't have to do it. I wish I didn't." And then she presents a tweet that I wrote about penises. In New York City. She thinks New Yorkers are going to go nuts. They all have penises, by the way. Half the people in the room had penises. The judge had a penis. Everybody had a penis. And so, you know, it was. So it was, you know, that was a serious thing that she was arguing. She was arguing to defend the former president against defamation. That was her deal. Very serious. But is that not? I mean,
it's batshit.
Yeah, exactly. It's official court transcript. So it was so delicious. And and of course, we kept it quiet. We kept the book quiet. Those books were locked in an office in St. Martin's. I thought, I never even had a copy. I wanted to shin up the side of the building and climb in a window to get a copy of the damn book. But, you know, it was truly kept a secret. And so when it dropped, it was a surprise.
Mm-hmm. Your career in journalism began when you were 37. How did you get your start, and what were you doing up to that point?
The whole time up to that point, I was trying to get into magazines. I started pitching magazines at the age of 12. I wrote to a Sears and Roebuck catalog that I had a story idea. It was about a girl who cut out pictures of the clothes she liked in the Sears and Roebuck catalog, and when they arrived, they were real clothes. Isn't that a cute story?
So, that is a cute story.
And ever since that, from age 12, I just besieged the big New York magazines with my story ideas for 25 years. It took 25 years for somebody to finally say, "Okay, here, we'll take it. Thank you." Yeah. So, yeah, I was just trying to be a journalist up to that time.
Wow.
E. Jean, once you became a journalist, you famously chewed acid with Hunter S. Thompson and became the first female contributing editor at Playboy. However, I am dying to know about your first cover story, which was for Outside Magazine in 1983 when you took Fran Lebowitz camping. Now, I love her and was able to find old photos of this article. And for listeners who aren't as acquainted with Fran as we are, here's a quote from the article. "There may be plenty of places Fran would like to wake up in, but this tent is not one of them." Can you please tell us the story of getting Fran to go camping? Was it your idea to take Fran camping?
I got the idea to take Fran camping because Fran Lebowitz appeared in Vogue magazine in a photo by Annie Leibovitz. And Fran Fran is a famous conversational. She is our Oscar Wilde. She is a New York icon and possibly the country. Many people came to New York because they read Fran Lebowitz and they wanted to be Fran Lebowitz. So there's Fran Lebowitz in Vogue. I'm out in Montana in a pump house on a cot, just mesmerized. And I'm thinking, oh, and I look at the photograph. It's Fran on the phone, right? And she's on a dial phone, of course. This is 1980. And I look at the phone and I could see the phone number. And I thought, oh, wow. So I get in the car and I drive to the laundromat because I didn't have a phone, of course. That's how deep we are in Montana. I called Fran Lebowitz's agent, Mort Janklow, the world's most famous agent. I said, "Hello, I'm E. Jean Carroll. I'd like to take Fran Lebowitz camping." He didn't get done laughing. It was just, "How much are you going to pay her?" I said, "Wait, no, I'm a journalist. We don't pay." He hung up. So then I just called Fran Lebowitz herself. I said, "Miss Lebowitz, This is E. Jean Carroll. You have no idea who I am, but I would like to take you camping for Outside Magazine. And Fran said, oh, when? I said, how about the weekend of engagement? She said, sure, yeah, okay.
Wow.
She had never.
That's how it happened.
And we took her camping. Fran, who described the outside as the blazing sun you have to walk through from her apartment to the cab. That was Fran's Leibowitz's. And it was sensational. It was a great cover. We won the National Magazine Award that year.
So here's another question. I also read that you had to redo some of the photos, and she refused to go back into the woods, and she wanted the woods to just look like make Washington Square Park look like the woods.
No, we did. We shot in Tompkins Square Park.
Oh.
Right, and there's Fran sitting in front of the tent, by the way, and do you know her camel hair coat, her Shetland sweater, her sweater, and her loafers. Fran has always, if you look at the Scorsese documentary and she's walking through New York, it's the same outfit she's wearing exactly. She's wearing the loafers, the camel hair coat, the Shetland sweater. She is an icon of fashion in New York. Have you seen Fran in her tuxedos? She's,
yes.
So we shot at George Butler.
Yeah.
Who opens the book. I got to say, I opened the book with Alina Haba Esquire asking me to name my lovers. Oh, my God. What a way to open a... Okay. So, anyway, he was on the list. And he got that great shot and became an iconic shot. And she's great. And I've heard she's given an interview lately. She said she went camping because she knew it would be on the cover. That's Fran.
Wow.
That's Fran.
Have you guys stayed in touch?
No, but we send well wishes to each other through friends, you know.
Good.
No, E. Jean, I got to say, like, you were, I used to write for Jezebel, the website, in, like, 2010. Right. You were, like, iconic in the newsroom. Like, you would put out an Ask E. Jean column. Like, we all just absolutely ate you up. We just, like, love you so much. How
Thank
was
you.
Ask E. Jean born?
Oh, well, Amy Gross had been reading my Esquire and Playboy stories, and I think Erin and I share a history at Playboy. Mm-hmm. And she asked me out to, she had just been handed Elle magazine. The French tried to do Elle magazine in America, and they just didn't get it because their line was, American women don't like to read. And Amy Gross took over as editor, and she wanted to prove to the French, who owned Elle at the time, that American women do like to read. And she took me out to lunch. She said, how would you like to write an advice column? And it was like I had dropped from the top of the Empire State Building into a vat of honey. It was my lifelong dream. I grew up reading on the living room floor as my parents had their evening cocktails. I would be reading Dear Abby. In the morning, I'd be reading Ann Landers. That was formed my character. I loved it. I recognized instantly as a child that it was a form of entertainment. We're not talking literature. It was entertainment. But she helped people. And so did her sister, mm-hmm. you know, Ann Landers. And I'm like, they're sisters. They're twins. I was like, Amy Gross said, would you like it? And boy, God, did I have fun writing that. It's so mm-hmm. fun. You just read a letter. You figure out what the correspondent wants to do. And then you tell her to go do it. Go do it. Do it. What are you asking me for? Do it. Go. Right? That's it.
Oh, man. That is so funny. Are there any letters from the Ask E. Jean column that are particularly memorable to you that stick out as something that you were either really proud of or, like, stumped by?
Well, number one, I'd change. Looking back over 27 years, I'd change half the answers now. I can't stand reading my advice from before.
Uh-huh.
Oh, have times changed? That's the main thing that sticks out of me. I'd go back and re-answer some of these questions. But you know what? It makes no difference. If people follow my advice, it may turn out brilliantly. If they don't follow my advice, it may turn out even better. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not going to, I do worry about, after I turn in a column and answer it, I would sit and bed and worry about the people I advise because, you know, you just worry. You want them, oh, you know, yeah, because they're terrible situations, people, you know, being beaten up and pregnant and don't have a job, terrible things. So I still worry about that. I still was worried about a woman whose boyfriend beat up her dog, and I advised her to get the hell out. And guess what? I heard from her 17 years later. She had gotten out.
Oh, wow.
The dog got out with her, and she sent a picture of she and the dog. He was now 17 years later, so he had passed on. But her life went on to become happy. So that was, that's a good, yeah, yeah. You like that? Good. Yeah, you hear the dog. They like that. Yeah, they always vote for the dog questions.
E. Jean, with all the years you spent doling out advice, do you have any bigger takeaways about what the problems are that plague us all?
Yes, I have. I have the exact answer to that. The problems plaguing us all are Donald J. Trump. That is what is plaguing us all.
Frankly, correct.
Yes.
All he does is think about himself, and therefore everybody around him thinks about him, and therefore we are doing very little but thinking about him, and he is our biggest problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, we're right with you. Okay, nobody has a resume like you, E. Jean. Miss Cheerleader USA?
Ho!
SNL successfully suing Trump twice, and one of the longest advice columns in the history of America. What is next for you?
Oh, I'm glad you asked because I'm going to get your opinion and I'm going to be quoting you, okay?
Okay. Oh, no, I get to give you advice. So I'm going to listen. I'm going to figure out what you want me to say and I'm going to say it to you.
Good, because this is right up a lesson Aaron's alley. What I want to do is because Donald Trump is such a troublemaker and he's pulling our little tiny democracy apart by the seams, what I want to do is I have been harping on people to get off your lazy asses, and that does no good. It does no good because we're our fellow citizens are despondent, right? And when you tell them to get off their lazy asses, they don't know what to do. And it's not their fault. We don't have a leader. Mm-hmm. We don't have a leader. We're waiting for one. We should got to stop waiting for a leader because guess what? We are the leader.
Mm-hmm.
We are. Elisa is a leader. Aaron's a leader. I'm a leader. So here's my idea. We designate one day at an exact hour, the exact day, and we all get on social media. That's easy. We don't have to leave the house. We don't even have to stand up. And we all tweet, message the same thing at the same time, the same hour, the same day. Everybody in the country. Now, let's have Alyssa. What would you suggest we all tweet at the same time across the country at the same hour?
Release the files.
Ah,
I was
okay.
I was gonna say Epstein didn't kill himself. That was gonna
be a file. Aaron, you say Epstein didn't kill himself?
That's what we should all tweet. I don't know if we all believe it, but I think tweeting it would really.
Wait a minute, Epstein didn't.
Epstein didn't kill himself.
Oh my God!
And release the files.
That's lethal. No. Mm-hmm.
Don't you think? He'd go into orbit.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, you get the point. This is why we're going to do it. And it's so simple. It's so simple.
I mean, everyone just would have to log on at the same time. It's not that hard. Or you
not
can,
that hard.
I think some posting clients allow you to schedule tweets.
Well, yeah, it doesn't even have to tweet. If you want to do it on Facebook, go ahead. If you want to do it on Instagram, go ahead. Just get your message, choose your message. And that way we hit it across everything. You can do it on True Social. Boom. All of us release the files. Epstein killed himself.
Did not kill himself.
Did not kill himself.
And again, I don't know if that's true or not, but I think that
it would drive him crazy.
It would really fuck with his head, I
think.
No, that's a good idea.
Hey, will you back this? Will you back this idea? Because I'm going to need powerhouses like the two of you on hysteria and fuck this guy to back this idea. This is how we're going to get it going.
I think it's a great idea.
Okay, let me ask you your opinion. What day of the week do you think? Seriously, now we're discussing I mean, you guys organize.
Monday.
Monday.
Like, that's, I mean, like, a lot of magazine
stories.
Kick
the stories, weed off.
Yeah, a lot of magazine stories will post on, like, a Sunday night to, like, lead the conversation going into the week. So we should have it, like, on a Monday.
Monday. Like, what time?
Yeah. Noon? Eastern?
Noon Eastern.
Because the 9 a.m. Pacific.
Are you kidding? I would never have known this. I would never have guessed it. Monday
noon?
We're
geniuses, Eugene.
I would say noon because then that allows people on the West Coast to be – we're mostly awake by then. Some of us aren't.
Yeah.
But most of us are.
And Europe is still awake, so they'll enjoy it.
Yeah.
Okay.
And Europe gets to sit back and pop their fancy popcorn. But yeah, no, I think you should put it in your Substack.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to tell them to watch my Substack. Watch the Substack, right?
For sure.
Wait,
for sure.
Have you guys got a Substack too? Or just listen to your podcast?
I subscribe to you.
Subscribe to you, but I don't have a Substack. I'm just a subscriber.
Wait a minute. Erin, you're a subscriber?
Yeah, I subscribe to your Substack.
All right. So then you're going to be hearing from me, and you'll have to put it on your podcast a week before or 3 days before.
We promise.
I love this. We're doing some community organizing live.
Yeah.
But digitally.
No, that's what
in
we're
real
doing
time.
Because aren't you sick of everybody doing nothing? We're waiting for something to happen. And this is so simple. They just have to get on their phones. That's it. Mm-hmm. They don't even have to get off their lazy asses.
I mean, let's make that the tagline. You don't even have to get off your lazy asses.
Oh,
yeah.
Man.
Posting day 2025. You don't even have to get off your lazy
even
asses.
Have to get off your lazy asses. May I have your permission of using this when everything we just said?
Absolutely.
Of course. I'm a believer in the marketplace of ideas, and I freely share them. Eugene, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for
thank you so much.
Well,
love you so much. You're a delight.
Thank
I gotta
you for
say.
Rabble rousing with me. This is listen, it's been a real joy just to look at the two of you and remember everybody texting me about hysteria. And now I can say, hey, dudes, look, here I am on hysteria.
Eugene,
thank
Carol,
you,
thank
Eugene.
You so much for joining us. You can read her writing on her Substack. You can check out her book. She has just you can live an entire life of reading Eugene Carol for the rest of it because there's a lot that she's written out there and it is all wonderful. Thank you so much for joining
thank
us.
Thank you.
We're gonna take a quick break. When we come back, more hysteria.
Adios.
Hysteria is brought to you by Article. Erin, you have a new article, Dining Room Chairs.
Dining Room Chairs. I think they're called Meja, M-E-J-A, Meja. And they're like black. They have a black like leather cushions and like a dark walnut wood. And they're kind of like this mid-century mod inspired design. And
you love a dark walnut.
I love a dark walnut. Well, everything's dark walnut in my house. It's like, might as well match. You don't want a bunch of different colors of wood.
No, that's what I'm saying. You love a dark walnut.
I love a dark walnut. But yeah, it's great. I love them. They are great size. They actually push under the table, which my other chairs didn't do. And now that I have chairs that push under the table, I feel like I have way more space. I love them.
Because you
do. They feel solid. Yeah. I feel like I have way more space. They're solid. They're pretty. No complaints. Right?
Right. Article makes it effortless to create a stylish, long-lasting home at an unbeatable price, and they take great care in curating its collection, focusing solely on high-quality, meaningful pieces that will stand the test of time. There's no filler. Every item is chosen for its craftsmanship, design, and lasting value. You can immediately tell the difference in quality when you receive an Article piece. Article offers fast, affordable shipping across the U.S. and Canada with options for professional assembly if you prefer a hands-off experience. Have a question or need help with your design choices? Article's customer care team is available 7 days a week, offering knowledgeable support and even free interior design services to help you get your home just right. And with Article's 30-day satisfaction guarantee, you can shop with confidence knowing that if you're not completely in love with your new furniture, you can easily return it. This peace of mind ensures you can invest in your home without hesitation.
Article is offering our listeners $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more. To claim, visit article.com/hysteria and the discount will be automatically applied at checkout. That's article.com/hysteria for $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more.
The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit. Track budgets and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
And welcome back. You're listening to Hysteria, the podcast for good listeners.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Our listeners are good.
The best.
The best. The best listeners. We're going to do some Sandy Petty, but before we do that, some announcements for the class. The media might have moved on from Trump's reign of terror in Los Angeles, but we definitely haven't. If you want to join us in spreading the word that we're not okay with what the Trump administration and ICE are doing, pick up some merch from the Crooked Store. The Friend of Immigrants tee sends the message that you're standing up for your neighbors, and the Don't Poke the Bear California flag tee is perfect for those of us who love the state and the immigrants who make it amazing. You can find both at crooked.com/store.
In a political hellscape where the news is breaking you, laughter might be the only thing holding us together. This week on Assembly Required, Stacey Abrams sits down with comedian and writer Amber Ruffin to talk about the power of humor in dark times and how cracking a joke can be an act of defiance. From Late Night with Seth Meyers to her own namesake show, Amber knows how to turn chaos into catharsis. Tune into Assembly Required for a conversation that's smart, soulful, and just what your nervous system ordered wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, now let's get to Sandy Petty. I have a Sandy, and it's super weird, and I don't think you're going to predict what
okay.
It is. Okay. So my three-year-old daughter is really into this show on Disney Junior called Spidey and His Amazing Friends. I hate the show. I can't with the show because it's not for me. I'm not a three-year-old.
It's not for you.
I'm not into, like, it's just not for me. But the soundtrack of Spidey and His Amazing Friends does not need to go as hard as it does. And the reason that it goes hard, like, we listen to it when we're, like, on our way home from her preschool or whatever. The soundtrack was basically vocalized by Patrick Stump. Now, I don't know if you know who Patrick Stump
is. I don't.
Is. Patrick Mm-mm. Stump is a lead singer of Fall Out Boy. So he
oh.
is... He does the theme song of Spidey and His Amazing Friends and a bunch of other, like, songs for the different characters and stuff. And it honestly sounds like all of those songs would be at home on a Fall Out Boy album from, like, my formative years. So, like, I hear it, and it's
wow.
just, like, he's really, like, he's giving his artistry to this, like, child's cartoon soundtrack.
Wow.
He really, it's, like, so inspiring to see this guy who's probably, like, middle-aged now. He's still, like, a super talented vocalist. He's, like, it just, like, does not need to go as hard as it does. And I texted one of my friends who has some kids that are into Spidey and His Amazing Friends, too, like a lot of kids are. And she and I were, like, it does not need to be as good as it is. Like, I don't want to listen to it when I'm relaxing, but, like, if I'm driving
But when you
home,
do.
I'm driving home from school and I, like, hear his vocals being like, spin, 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 da, 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 da. It's like, this is
you
good
You get a
shit.
Little head bop going.
I appreciate people making, like, high quality music of, like, a specific genre that is, like, appropriate for kids. It's just, like, I don't know. The Spidey and His Amazing Friends soundtrack is saving me from having to listen to much, much worse music for children, and for that I'm very grateful to Fall Out Boy lead singer Patrick Stump.
Aaron, it's like
he's
when
a
we
true
were
musician. That's a true it's musician.
It's like when I was a baby, my parents got to listen to the Muppets, and that was like Elton John. Like the soundtrack of the Muppets was adult.
Yes.
So it's kind of like following in that framework.
Yes, it absolutely is. It feels like I feel like my daughter like loves it. Like she and I played some Fall Out Boy for her, and she was like, "It's the Spidey guy." Like, so I feel like someday she's gonna listen to Fall
wow.
Out Boy and be like, "I like this music," you know. And like, it's not my very favorite genre of music, but I just
but
like he's really good
enough.
At it. for the genre, he's really good at it, and he made, like, something good that doesn't make me want to gouge my eyes and ears out. So, thank you.
I love that for you.
Thank you. All right, Alyssa, Sanity Corner or I Feel Petty this week?
Sanity Corner. It's all we've got. We have to stay sane.
Okay.
Lena Dunham's back, and her new show is good.
Oh, good.
Too Much? Too Much. That's the name of the show. It's on Netflix. I am up to episode 7. I'm not going to give any spoilers, but I have to tell you, I'm sure this is not the part of the show that everybody else loves. There's a Grey Gardens element to this show that is exceptional. Ooh. You've got Rhea Perlman is the grandmother. Rita Wilson is the mother.
Okay.
Lena is the oldest sister. And Meg Stalter is the younger sister. But the three elders have a real sort of grit. Lena doesn't really get out of bed in the show.
Good for her.
She's a little unwell. She has a son in the show. The writing is so good. It's so unlike anything that we have, like, been force-fed in streaming. It's almost shocking that it got made. Like, when you watch it, you'll be like, wow, good for Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
I really enjoyed it. And I'm glad Lena's back. I hope she's got more shows in her.
Lena Dunham got so much heat when she was just, because she was under such a microscope when Girls was out. And it wasn't a perfect show, but, like, no show, like, written by and for and starring mostly men would have been critiqued the way that her show
totally
was. Like, and I think we all clock that at this point. Girls is so good as a rewatch. Our associate producer, so Claire, good. Has been watching Girls.
For the first time.
Yes. And it's so funny because, like, I feel like such an elder when I'm like, you know what? I lived that life. I was living in Brooklyn at that time.
I lived the final seasons of Girls. I was in Brooklyn. But one favorite thing of mine, one favorite memory, is that it was on Sunday nights when we were in the White House. So you guys should ask Dan Pfeiffer. Dan Pfeiffer and I used to, every Monday morning, get together and talk about what had happened on Girls the night before. And the only episode, and our friend Kathy Rumler, and the only episode that we were all like, we cannot discuss it, was when Hannah Horvath had OCD and, like, took the Q-tips to the ears.
Mm, that's the one I can't talk about.
That morning we came in, we were like, nope, we're not talking about it. But it was, we loved to talk about it. And they actually shot it when I was at Vice in Williamsburg. They actually shot a couple scenes and I was like, you know, it's a great
job. Living it. You were living it.
I was living it. I had purple hair.
You know, have you and Dan Pfeiffer talked about Lena Dunham's new show yet?
No, we have not talked about the new show yet.
You need to, like, revive the tradition.
Well, of course we are. But I had to get a couple. I only started watching it, like, 2 days ago.
Okay. Okay.
I had to get an opinion under my belt.
Oh, my God. Well, I am, I'm going to have to put that one on my list because, like,
it's
so, there's so many times that I'm, like, led astray by shows where people are like, no, it's so good. And I watch it and I'm like, this is dumb. None of the things the characters are doing makes any sense. Like,
no, it's weird. Like, all the show's, the show's weird. There, it's like, but for me to say it's weird and still like it, it means it's got something to
it. Yeah, no, and Lena Dunham, I think, if anything, she is great at writing characters and putting them in funny situations and then have the characters behave in ways that only those characters would behave. She's like, oh, I have to check it out. Can't wait.
She also, Lena, worth checking out, Lena makes an appearance on the Girls Rewatch podcast. Mm. And it's a very insightful and interesting interview, actually.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I have one, like, real quick petty to tag on. So,
what?
Listeners, if you made it all the way in the show, I'm just going to reward you with some inside info. We recorded a new This Fucking Guy this week, and it's coming out later this month. Mm-hmm. And the subject of This Fucking Guy, here's something I'm feeling petty about. The subject of this month, This Fucking Guy, keeps having embarrassing, dumb stories come out about them. And I'm like, oh, we can't include it. Like, there's one, it says this person was using an artist's work without their permission.
Oh, yeah. I had to think about it. I'm like, wait, who did we do yesterday?
Yeah, yeah. Oh my God, my whole life has been taken over by this person. Everything I've got it in the brain. I was like, oh my God, I had a dream.
What?
I had a dream that I was at her house. That there was
giveaway.
I know.
Easter egg.
I had
little
a dream,
clue.
I had a dream that there was a thunderstorm and I got stranded at her house and it was really awkward because the video had come out and she was like, you said all these mean things about me. And I was like, yes,
like, but they were true.
I don't like you, you
they were
demon.
True though.
They were true.
Fact check to fuck. It was all true.
It's all true. But anyway, like, the thing that I'm feeling petty about is, like, stuff keeps coming out about her. And I'm like, God damn it. That would have been a great thing to include.
Well, We can cover it. We can do an update. We'll do an update here.
This fucking update when it comes out. Alyssa, thank you so much for being my ride or die this week and every single week. We also want to thank E. Jean Carroll for being a goddamn national treasure.
The best.
Please go out and buy her book and read her work. She's just so funny and so – she's like a spark plug. Just love her.
The best.
Yeah. And if you want to get in touch with us, hysteria@crooked.com. We love hearing tips, anecdotes, feedback, stories, whatever. We love all of you. You are great. There will be more Hysteria for you next week. Don't forget to follow us at Crooked Media on IG, Twitter, and TikTok. Subscribe to Hysteria on YouTube for access to video versions of your favorite segments and other exclusives like This Fucking Guy, our video series. And if you're as opinionated as we are, consider dropping us a nice review. Hysteria is a Crooked Media production. Caroline Reston is our senior producer. Our executive producer is me, Erin Ryan. And Alyssa Mastromonaco is our co-producer. Claire Fogarty is our associate producer. The show is engineered and edited by Jordan Cantor. We get audio support from Kyle Seglin and Charlotte Landis. Our video producers are Rachel Gajewski and Claudia Sheng. And thank you to Daisy Cruz and David Tolles for production and marketing support every week. Our production staff is proudly unionized with the Writers Guild of America East.
If you guys like Positive America, please consider subscribing to our Friends of the Pod program. So Friends of the Pod get lots of stuff. You get more Positive America. That includes our new show, which is called Positive America Only Friends.
It's where Dan gets naked.
Where Dan gets full frontal nudity, but mostly it's a bi-weekly subscription exclusive podcast that is basically Positive America, but behind a paywall. So it's a little bit looser and more fun. And it's Lovett and Favreau and me and Pfeiffer and then other Crooked hosts. We go deeper on the news and cover more stories. You also get Open Tabs, which is a weekly behind-the-scenes newsletter from the show. Plus, you get ad-free episodes of your favorite Crooked podcasts and all kinds of other stuff. Dan will come to your house and clean it once every quarter.
Yeah, clothed.
Dan is very busy, clothed only. But along with just getting great content, becoming a friend of the pod, joining our subscription community, is the number one thing you can do to help us grow, to help independent progressive media. So if you've ever thought about doing it, if you ever wanted more Pod Save America, consider going to crooked.com/friends and becoming a friend of the pod.